Hey guys, welcome back to Unscripted Scripture. I'm Jack here with my buddy Zach.
Hi guys, I'm Zach.
Yeah, so this is a different one. We recorded this podcast last week, but we realized it's crazy long, which is good. It was a good thing.
Yeah.
But then we had to do an intro for this week. So
right.
This is the intro.
You listened to the first half last week.
Yep.
You listened to part one. Here's part two coming up.
Enjoy the next couple characters we're about to throw at you. They're good ones.
Of the Bible draft, part two.
Have fun.
Yep.
My next pick is going to be...
Hey! Who? 10.
Josiah.
What? Josiah?
Yeah, do you know who that is?
Old Vaguely,
Testament.
Yeah.
Josiah, the king of Judah.
Tell me more, Jack.
He reigned in Jerusalem. His reign is in 2 Kings 22 and 2 Chronicles. He was the son of King Amon. He's the grandson of King Manasseh. Both of them were wicked kings.
Okay.
But Josiah was a godly king. He was one of the world's youngest. He started reigning at age 8 after his father was killed, assassinated.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And in 2 Kings 22:2, it talks about Josiah by saying he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. He was fixed on God from the start. Josiah, amidst a nation that was split for so long, that was ruled by wicked kings and kings that did not follow God, he came in and said, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm coming back to God. I'm leading this nation accordingly. And even if the nation didn't get behind him, he knew he was doing what was right in God's eyes. And so he was steadfast. He was obedient. He was patient with his own people. And he stuck to God's truth through it all. And I think he's a great example of that humble leadership. Like, he was a king. He was a servant king to God. Resembled David years after David ruled. Super cool, man. And
childlike faith.
I just was reading about him, and so I was like, what? Like, I was reading about him this weekend, and it stuck with me. Like, I've been thinking about Josiah the whole time. I'm like, who is this guy? I didn't even like know much about him.
No, and I remember the 8-year-old ruler, but
it okay. I gotta read something else from him. Where is it?
Please do.
Josiah renews the covenant. 2 Kings 23, 23:25. Where are we at? Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his strength, in accordance with the law of Moses. Man, nevertheless, the Lord did not turn away from the heat of his fierce anger, which burned against Judah because of all that Manasseh had done to arouse his anger. So God was still judging the nation even as Josiah was ruling, but he was blessing Josiah for that.
He was king for a while, wasn't he?
Young king, man. Yeah.
I think age
30-some years?
30-something, yeah.
Yeah. But a young king, like a young leader like David. He ruled when he was young. Jeremiah, a young prophet. Very cool guy. I'm glad I picked him.
Very good. Wow. Hey, I learned something there.
There you go.
From the Bible draft. All right. I'm up. You have a total of 7 right now.
Is that where we're at? 2, 3, 4,
all right, 5, my 6, team 7. Right now is David, Paul, Peter, Moses, John, and Stephen. I have 4 New Testaments and 2 Old Testaments.
Yeah.
I'm going to go... I could pick 2 from the New Testament and finish my New Testament.
You could.
But
that means your lady, your 2 ladies.
Yeah, I know. Have to be come old. From... I know.
And so the ladies are scared.
I'm trying to strategize here.
Yeah.
I know, they are. I'm going to stick with the New Testament.
Okay.
I'm going to pick Joseph.
Joseph.
I'm going to pick Joseph.
The New Testament.
From the New Testament.
Wow, yeah. Okay.
The father of Jesus, the earthly father of Jesus. He was a descendant of David, so I figure it's keeping the family together.
Mm-hmm.
But just to be a father, haven't been a father yet, but to be a father of someone like Jesus, like the kid can do no wrong.
Yeah.
So how are you supposed to, like, it's either the easiest job.
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of people would think it's the easiest job, but for me, I'm thinking, dude, like, my son is better than me. Like,
yeah.
I'm sinning more than my son is, and, like, he's making me look bad almost.
True.
And so, or else he's making me look good, because you're like, yeah, he's my son.
Great parenting.
Right, yeah, great parenting. But the biggest thing about Joseph was the way he handled Mary. Just walking through that whole virgin birth, just the all eyes were on him. Like, you're gonna stick with this woman? Like, first off, all eyes on him being like, oh, you guys definitely had sex before marriage. Like,
yeah.
And then it's like, no, it wasn't me. Like, I was at home. Like, and they're like, oh, well, she cheated on you and you're gonna stay with him? And he's like, no, this is the work of God. Like, this is God's gonna, and just being able to stick, even though everyone was spreading rumors and saying all this stuff about him, he stuck his route and became the father to the most perfect, the earthly father, the most perfect man on earth. And for him, that he then was the carpenter, and just to try to teach Jesus that, and just, you've talked about it before, like Jesus the carpenter, and just all the stuff he learned from that age. 12 to 30.
Yeah.
You can go off on that if you want.
No, I mean, you said it great. I don't have anything more to add except that, like, I think how do you lead a family when your son is more mature than you, or when your son is so much holier than you and pure? Like, did he ever discipline? He didn't have to discipline his kid, did he? I mean, but we know, this is the thing, we know that Jesus had brothers and sisters too.
Yep.
So he was a parent to them also. Right? I mean, was he?
Right.
I think so.
Yeah, I would think
but
so.
But he's described as the earthly father of Jesus, but Jesus had brothers and sisters. So he was a parent, and he did have to discipline them, but Jesus was the example. I just hope that his brothers and sisters weren't always getting the why aren't you more like Jesus? Why can't you be more like Jesus?
Right.
And like, because you don't want that. And I don't know. I hope Joseph was not leading in that way. But
I don't think
great pick for how humble and patient, how patient he had to be.
Yep.
With everything. That's a good pick, bro.
Yeah. With all that happening with like Mary being pregnant and about to give birth and like having to find a place for her to rest, and just for him leading the way for that family then, just Mary and Jesus to be.
Yeah.
Great story.
That's awesome.
Great man. I think that he's one of my sleeper picks there.
It's a good sleeper pick.
Thank you.
But you got one New Testament left.
I know.
So choose wisely.
I know. I'm not going to pick another New Testament.
Okay. Wait until next round.
Yeah. I'll maybe. Maybe. So I'm going to go with Solomon.
Solomon.
Yep, King Solomon. Wisest man in the Bible.
Yeah.
Other than Jesus, I would say. Like, David's son came from David. David was a pretty wise man.
He was a pretty wise
man. To see everything that just kind of David went through, and to come off of that, like, he just talks about Proverbs. Well, you just go to Proverbs and you look at it.
Anything, yeah. And anything in Proverbs will give you the truth.
All him, and I'm going through Proverbs right now. And
are you?
Proverbs, yeah. My Bible right here is, what is this book about? It tells you what the book is about. If you need a Bible and you're a man, I would get every man's Bible. It's great. But it says wisdom based on God's trust. Or wisdom based on trusting God.
Mm.
And so just to write it and to like really tone in, he talks about the first like couple of verses. He just talks about adultery and how women can persuade you if you're not right, if your mind's not in the right place. And so he just goes through all of that. And I mean, in every single chapter so far, I think I'm only on 6 or 7. Wisdom is the headline of every single chapter. Hey, and so I got a smart guy. You know, you always need that geek, that guy who thinks, the guy who sits on the bench and pretty much tells everyone what to do and draws up all the plays. And I think that's what we got in Solomon.
Good one.
So, yeah.
I do like Solomon, yeah. That's awesome. Great pick. He's the one who built the temple.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to transition to my picks. Here we go. Zach, you're still good. What are you at? 3 Old Testament, 5 in the New Testament.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I got 4 old, still 3 new.
Women.
I'm going to do I'm going to do 2 New Testament right here.
Woo!
Back to back. You need them. In one run.
You need them.
Priscilla and Aquila.
What?
What? So there's my 2 New Testament right
wow.
there.
Wow. All right, tell me about
Do you know anything
them.
About
no.
Priscilla and Aquila? So,
no.
That's my one
maybe.
Woman. My one
Go
woman.
Ahead.
They were a married couple, and they're recognized as one of the first Christian missionary couples in the New Testament. And so they're found in Acts, found in Romans as well. Acts 18:26. I'm going to read here. They worked closely with Paul. So Paul wrote, like, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. So they were some of the first teachers to Paul. As Paul was coming to understand the word, they were explaining God to him. They were early evangelicals who were followers of Jesus, who walked with Paul and worked in the name of Jesus, but helped him to grow in his faith ultimately. And Paul stayed, this is Acts 18:18. Paul stayed in Corinth for some time after that, then said goodbye to the brothers and sisters and went to nearby Centria. There he shaved his head according to Jewish custom, marking the end of a vow. Then he set sail for Syria, taking Priscilla and Aquila with him. And let me just read the first part of Acts 18:2-3. There he became acquainted with a Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently arrived from Italy with his wife Priscilla. They had left Italy when Claudius Caesar deported all Jews from Rome. Paul lived and worked with them, for they were tent makers, just as he was.
Tent makers.
But these people were faithful to God, and they showed that through their love and their marriage. And that's what I love so much about it, is that they stood by each other and were one of the first couples that worked for God together and that were recognized together. Like, their union.
Yeah, you see them together.
Was a mark
it's
of God. Like, this is a God-designed marriage.
Wow.
And it's one of the right. first ones after Jesus where, like, we can honestly look and see that. But then all through his New Testament, like, all through the letters that he writes, in Romans, Paul writes in 16:3, "Give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in the ministry of God." 1 Corinthians 16:19, "The churches here in the province of Asia send greetings in the Lord, as do Aquila and Priscilla and all the others who gather in their home for church meetings." 2 Timothy 4:19, "Give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila and those living in the households of Onesiphorus." Like, he recognizes these people will open up their homes to anyone, and they are some of my closest friends, closest workers with God, and they're my 2 next picks.
I think of them on, like, the movies, your Christian movies, or even at your church, that old couple that's, like, always inviting, like, say there's a missionary coming and just speaking at the church, and they're like, "Hey, do you have a place to stay? Like, do you want to come over for lunch?" Like, the one that's always going up to them, inviting them over, and, like, just hearing their stories, and... Yeah, so I definitely can see that in the modern day, like, those people in the church. Cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. I want to be like them with Jacqueline. I want to be
that's
like...
That's perfect, man.
Yeah,
exactly.
They're something to run after. They're an example. Cool.
That's my first woman, Priscilla.
Okay. Yeah.
For both of us, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
First woman. Yeah, no one would have guessed that. I wouldn't have guessed that.
I wouldn't have guessed it either.
leaves a lot of options for me, though.
It does.
And, well, one more for you. Yeah. All right. Cool. I'm not going to spell their name right. I open up the Bible and I see it. All right. Anyways, so I'm up. I'm going to go. I could finish my New Testament here.
You could.
But I only need one more, so I think I'm going to leave it. I don't think you're going to pick.
Bro, don't.
Even if
don't
you pick
that.
A New Testament, I think I'll have other options. So I'm going to go with the Old Testament. I didn't think too much about this. But let's. Man.
What's up, Ryan? Yeah, we're still recording.
Yeah, we're recording.
What are you doing? Trying that's, to play Xbox or PlayStation?
It's Ryan, my brother.
Ryan sneaking
daily listener, here. Weekly listener.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out, Ryan.
What's he doing?
I don't know. I think he's pretty mad that we said his name here.
Yeah. What you got, man?
We'll get over it. Oh,
let's go.
I don't know, Jack.
I got picks to make.
I know. All right. Elijah.
No, I was just going to make that pick.
Are you serious?
I wrote him down.
All right. I'm going with Elijah.
Good.
So Elijah was like the only prophet during his time. And he pretty much, guy had so much confidence going in.
Mm.
And he pretty much compared gods with the Israelites, right?
No. The what are they called? The prophets of Baal.
Yes, Baal.
The
Baal,
god Baal, yeah.
And so they were worshiping the god of Baal, and
yeah.
It was pretty much like this ox, like this.
Yeah, it was like a cow or
something.
I think.
I could go to
it. Was an idol.
It's in First Kings.
Anyway, regardless, it was.
It's in Kings.
Big idol.
Yeah. So basically, what he did was like, he said, if your god's real, then tell him to light it on fire or to start a fire.
Start a fire. Yeah, it was like an offering or something.
Right. Right, to burn this offering. And so the people of Baal, or the people who believed in the god of Baal.
Yeah, prophets of Baal.
Yeah. Pretty much danced around for a whole day.
Mm-hmm.
And Elijah pretty much laughed at him and was like, keep going. Hey, yeah,
keep going.
Maybe you need to call on your god louder. And they started yelling and dancing harder, and he just mocked them. And then he pretty much had 5 minutes to himself. He's like, all right, it's my turn. Like, after hundreds of these prophets of Baal could not do anything, followers of Baal, they didn't do anything, like not even a spark.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah just snapped his fingers within 5 minutes, said a prayer, and God lit the offering and burned it.
Yeah.
And people were brought to Christ.
What,
like, people believed
the world?
Just like that. And so for him to be in the position he was, where he didn't have any other people to help him, like it was him and God, and he had to go strong in what he was fighting for. And that was for people to follow God the right way, not these false idols.
Mm-hmm.
And I think till his last breath, like I talked about, and then he had Elisha follow him. I'm not picking Elisha.
You're not picking him?
No, I'm just saying.
Is it Elisha or Elisha? I've always called it Elisha.
I thought it was Elisha.
That sounds
Elisha.
Like a girl name, I guess.
Elisha. It's Elisha.
Yeah.
So Elisha pretty much followed Elijah at the end of Elijah's life. And at the end of Elijah's life, I got to find it, Jack. Give me 2 seconds.
Okay.
One, two. Pretty much.
Yeah, go. You want me to talk or you got it?
Well, unless you know it for word.
I was just going to say, when I think about Elijah, I love his story of going in the wilderness and trusting God to provide for him, and see that the ravens brought him food, and
mm-hmm.
there was a natural spring. But to face down Ahab and Jezebel, the leaders of the land at the time, it seems like Elijah was all by himself. Like, it seems like he was all alone. It was just him and God. No army, no nothing. And he faced all these prophets of Baal, like you said, but he took it headstrong, trusting God. And he's a great prophet.
Yeah, pretty much what Elijah said to Elisha, tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken away from you. Mm. And Elisha, what he asked for was, let me inherit double the portion of your spirit. Just because Elijah was all in for God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just had the Spirit of God. And so Elijah's like, if you just can give me, like, if I can get double that, like, I could bring everyone to Christ. Mm, and
nice.
So that's what he asked for. And God ended up giving Elijah that. And just for that, that's what Elijah asked from Elijah. Like, it's just strong in itself.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So I'll stop talking about the Elijahs and Elishas because they get confusing every once in a while.
But you're picking Elijah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Elijah. All right, next pick. We're going to go. Okay.
You got three left?
Three in total?
Total.
Are you serious?
You got to get two girls, bro. I think, yeah.
And I need a New Testament?
Five, you got five New Testament, and you have four Old Testament.
Okay.
Ooh, this is rounders here.
This is where it gets tough, but it gets fun.
Yeah, it does get fun, yeah. There's a lot, like... The women are hard, though. I gotta be honest, like... The women are hard, and I don't think it's because God didn't call women to... follow him, but it's that women didn't always hold the highest authority, and they didn't always have that rule. So, like, you see women in the Bible that have a high role or a book named after her, you know God used them greatly.
Right, yeah.
You know, like...
The book named after him is a pretty good one. Like, they have a good enough thing to write... Usually it's themselves writing about it. Like,
yeah.
But...
Ruth.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Esther.
Esther! All right.
Esther, who I should go with, but you got to go with the queen.
Yeah. Good one.
A lady just to be in charge and to have a godly effect on people is pretty...
It's cool.
Like, this was a timid Jewish leader who became queen, and I just, yeah.
That's a good one. I love Esther, hiding her faith, like who she was. She was Jewish, and she didn't tell anyone. She didn't tell the king, but she waited and waited and waited and obeyed her people. And even though it might have cost her to die, she went to a king and said, you got to let these people go. You can't kill them. And because the king's advisor was going to kill off the Jews.
Yeah, exile the Jews.
Yeah, but like she saved them, and she became the hero. And she was just the queen, man. She had no real, like, authority or power. She was brought on for her looks. And, but she saved a race. Amazing.
Yep.
Okay. You got one of each left. One new and one old.
That's right.
And one's got to be a woman.
Woman. All right.
All right. So I'm going to roll out here. And I'm going to pick Ruth. Since you passed up, I'm going to roll with Ruth and Priscilla as my ladies.
Ruth and Priscilla. Good job.
So, Ruth, man. I love Ruth because she has a great testimony. Like, her testimony, her husband and her father-in-law die, and she's left with just her mother-in-law, Naomi, to protect, and she becomes the leader of that household. It was just them two. And she has to fight for them and find food and find shelter and provide. And she remains faithful to God with everything. And I just admire her tenacity and her ability to go amongst men at that time who were reckless and nasty. And she knew that she had a role to do, and she followed it. But then representing her love with Boaz, her relationship with Boaz became really her big story. That she was humble enough to go to him, he was related to Naomi, but to go to him and say that, look, I come to you humbly. We don't have much, but I want to marry you. I want to, live with you so that I can serve you. I can serve Naomi, because I can't do it on my own. So she was humble in herself, and she knew that it was okay to show weakness, especially to a man that she trusted. And but she, through her weakness, like, we could see that strength in her. Like, she was loyal, she was obedient, and Boaz recognized that. He recognized that she wouldn't leave him, and she recognized that he wouldn't leave her. So it's a great example of what a marriage should be, and it's really, really, really cool how she stood by Boaz through all that, even after her first husband died and everything. So,
well, and it's cool how this story is about Ruth. Yeah. I mean, usually you hear about the woman standing beside the man in all these biblical stories, but this is Boaz standing beside Ruth. And I think it's like, her story with Boaz is amazing, but like you touched on, for her to stay with her husband's mother, her mother-in-law, was crazy, because she's a young lady who, she needs to go out and get married. Like, that's what their job is to do. Is
that's how you live.
To go out and get married. That's what...
You gotta get married.
Yeah. And, or else you're gonna become, like...
You're gonna die, you're gonna be abused, you're gonna be...
Right, exactly. Taken over, like... You almost need that husband back then as that protection, and she put herself last.
She fought
and
it
she
out,
put her mother-in-law in front of her, and so.
But she endured all of that, and then she went and talked to Naomi about this, and Naomi's like, "Look, Boaz has been good to us. He's been great with us. I think you should ask him to be a husband. Like, you're doing a great job, but like, he will help us out tremendously." And so she went to him at midnight. Like, it must have been humiliating, embarrassing to do that. She went at midnight at the foot of his bed, lying at his feet, and he said, "Who are you?" And she said, "I'm Ruth, your servant. Spread your cloak over your servant, for you are next of kin." And then in that moment, he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. This last instance of your loyalty is better than the first. You have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter... Do not be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask, for all this assembly of my people, now that you are a worthy woman." And their story, dude, this is crazy. Look what the genealogy of Boaz and Ruth. From Boaz and Ruth comes their son Obed, who becomes the father of Jesse, who becomes the father of David.
Mm-hmm.
So through Boaz and through Ruth's humility, going to Boaz and saying, "Will you marry me?" David comes from that. And eventually Jesus comes from that. So, like, this is a God-designed marriage. This is a God-prophesized.
And she worked hard to get Boaz. She's like, "Come on."
Yeah, she worked hard.
Like, she tried to cook a meal.
But it wasn't there at first. Like, at first she was just there to serve him. She was in his field serving him.
Right.
But eventually she's like, "Wow, this guy actually loves the Lord. He treats me well. I could see myself marrying him, and like, I'm going to just summons up the courage and do it." And man, did God bless descendants as numerous as the stars.
I think she was pretty good at doing what was right and not doing what looked right.
Yeah.
She knew in her heart that being with her mother-in-law, going and marrying Boaz was the right things to do.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas everyone else in the world, the right thing for them to do was the complete opposite of what she did.
Yeah.
Was find a wealthy owner or a wealthy husband, or to get married while you're young and good looking instead of looking after your mother-in-law. So, Ruth is great. Good pick. Should have picked her.
With my next pick here, I'm going to finish the Old Testament, Old Testament crew, and I'm going to pick Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah, who can be found in the book of Jeremiah, just in case you were wondering.
Oh, good to know.
Jeremiah, man. So he was a prophet, but he was a prophet that was called at a very, 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 very young age. And he, as I flip here to find Jeremiah, he was not, you know, fixed on that call. Just like we see a bunch of prophets who were, you know, like Jonah. And Jeremiah's call, the Lord came to him and said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." But he's like, "Lord, I don't know how to speak. I'm too young. People aren't even, they're not going to listen to me." And the Lord's like, "Don't say that. Do not say you're too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you and I will rescue you." He's saying, don't worry about if they don't listen. And that's so crucial. Like, don't worry if they don't listen to you. Don't worry if they're going to try to kill you. Like, don't worry about that. I'm going to protect you. He says that. Like, he says, like, I'm going to get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you. And they try to kill him. Through Jeremiah's whole story is about trusting in God, like following God through everything, through all the haters and the persecutors, and he's like, his whole task is telling them that judgment's going to come one day, that Jerusalem will be destroyed because of their sins, and he is thrown into a pit. He's, you know, attempted killed. He's attempted murder, and he puts a yoke on his back. He tries to get people to listen. He's like, listen, you gotta listen, you gotta listen. And eventually, Jerusalem falls, and they didn't listen. They didn't listen to him, but his prophecies came true. And so, I love just the youthfulness in Jeremiah, how God called such a young person, like we talked about David and Josiah. I just love that story that, like, God can call people at such a young age, which I think is a big reason why we do the show, is just because we're speaking to young people.
Yeah.
Well, old people too, but like our young people are at such a tempest right now of like, do we follow God or not? And like, yes, you do, because of these people, because of these heroes that we're talking about. And Jeremiah is a great example of that.
All right. Very good.
You got to round it out here? You got to finish up?
Yeah, it's tough. I've really been looking into the women now, and since we just talked about Ruth, I want to pick two more women. And
ooh,
ones I want to pick are – actually, I want to pick three, and they're all in the New Testament.
Okay.
I only have one New Testament open. Left. And so that's why I was picking all my New Testament first, because I didn't think there was as many New Testament. So I was trying to almost like get them out of the way before you picked all the good ones.
Well, even if you can't fit them in, we'll mention them as like an honorable afterwards.
That's, all right,
we'll
bring them up.
We'll bring them up.
All right. Well, then I have to keep the family together and keep those earthly parents together and go with the Mother Mary.
Oh, Mother good of Jesus. One. I'm glad she got in there.
Yeah.
Nice one.
To birth the, we'll go along with what we said about Joseph, but to birth the next ruler, like the perfect man, like the Son of God, to just carry it. Mm-hmm. Like when that angel came down and said, okay, so Mary, you're going to be doing this. Like, I don't think it was until like 3 weeks later. It was probably that shock stage. Like, okay, yes, God, like I can do this. Yeah. That was probably like 1 week later. Her initial thoughts were probably like, oh my goodness.
Seriously.
And then it sets in, shock's over, and you're like, crap. Like, okay, I have to be eating right. Mm. Like, I think mothers even now are like for their firstborn, they want to make sure their child comes out as great as possible. Mm-hmm. They want a healthy child. So they're doing everything they can. They're trying to eat right and all this and protect their bodies. And for Mary, I can't imagine, like, I don't want to let God down.
Yeah.
And I think that right there is how we should live every day. Like, we don't want to let God down.
Absolutely.
And I think Mary taught us that with carrying Jesus and then birthing Jesus and then raising him. She had that weight on her shoulders of raising the Son of God.
Mm.
And I think sometimes we need to put that weight on our shoulders and take this life seriously, because we only get one life.
Yeah, bro.
YOLO. You only live once. Mary. I'm sure there's plenty of other things I could have said about her, but for some reason I was feeling like God was telling me to say that stuff. next one. So that finishes my New Testament.
Good.
Which is rough, man. Yeah. Now I'm in between two. This is tough. I guess I could pick them next round, too. Yeah, we'll just do that. Done.
Yeah, this is your last one.
Oh, this is my last?
Yeah. You got 11.
All right, so this is my last one. Oh, that's rough. I feel like this guy gets passed over a lot.
Who is it?
I'm in between. I'll just tell you who I'm in between. In between Adam and Noah.
Okay.
Because I need an Old Testament. I'm in between both of them. I'm gonna weigh towards. Noah.
Nice.
There again, I think he could piggyback off Elijah there, where he was one of the only prophets during his time, and God was like, "I need you to do this ridiculous thing," and Noah, how he might not have been obedient at first, but he was like, "All right, God," like he chooses God because God chose him, and he builds this ark and he saves all God's creation for the next round, and he gets to see that rainbow, that promise, just God's promises, and just the strong man he had to be during that time.
Oof, to know that, like, tough. Everybody is gonna die except for my family.
Exactly.
Like, I think as a follower of God, you'd want to help people. Well, now we'd want to help as many people come as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus hadn't come yet, and so that thinking wasn't there. And God had put something different on his heart. And it, you know, the reason God was condemning the world was because it was a sinful world, because it wasn't a world that was obeying Him, and Noah was the only guy. He was literally the only guy. And so that's hard for us to believe because there's so many Christians today, so many great believers, but that's why God will never destroy the earth by flood again. So Noah is an awesome story because it's like, what? It's just a story that you can't even fathom. Like, how could this guy be so righteous that he's the only one who gets saved? But he was, and If he didn't, like, who knows where we'd be, man, if Noah wasn't faithful.
There
wouldn't even be a world to come back to.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Finish this up.
That's last pick
of the draft.
Oh, man.
Here we go.
You know, there's tons of guys.
The Bible draft.
There's tons of people that we didn't hit, which,
I know.
You know, it's a shame, but they're still there. They still mean a lot. And this is just people who Zach and I gravitate to when we just read their stories again. We're like, man, these people are crazy in love with the Lord. And but I'm going to end it with a disciple because I didn't choose a disciple yet.
Oh, dude. What?
And Zach's chosen like a bunch of them. So
yep.
I am going to roll with one because I love the disciples, but this guy is awesome, and I'll share his story. It's Matthew. Matthew, who was a tax collector, and he was hated by his own people. His own people hated him. The Romans hated him. He had enemies on both sides, which is like, how do you live? How do you live? How do you go about life with one side seeing you as less than human and the other side seeing you as a traitor, as a heathen to your society? And so he's living in luxury. He's living a glamorous life, but he's alone, and he has no hope and no loves, and his parents disown him. And then Jesus comes, and Jesus comes to him with nothing but love, and he says, "You got to follow me." He's like, "Follow me, follow me." I got to find the verse though. 32, yeah. It's Jesus calls, his other name is Levi. That's another name for him. But,
oh, like the jeans.
Yeah, like the jeans. So in Luke 5:32, Jesus says, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And what I love about Matthew is that everyone who has ever sinned, no matter how dirty or dead your sins are, Jesus is coming for you. He's come to seek a relationship with you, and he's come to see you come to repentance and love him and live for him. And Matthew is that example of every sinner who's done that. And Matthew goes on to write the gospel in such a detailed way it's so much more detailed than any of the other books. That's why it's first in the New Testament, because Matthew was like, I got to get this down to the T. I'm not missing a point with Jesus, man. Like, he changed me from the inside out. I am not missing a single word. And each guy has their own interpretation of stories, but Matthew's is so much deeper. And that's what I love about him. So he died a martyr, just like every one of the apostles. And I think he's a great guy to round out my team here.
Yeah, that's a good one to end on.
And Zach and I just, that was fun, man.
That was fun. It did get tough at the end there.
It did get tough.
Narrow it down to the last ones. I can't wait to do this again.
Yeah. We'll get a squad in and we'll dish out 50 names.
Right.
That's
going to be intense and tough.
Read off your team.
All right. Yeah. All right. So I got David, Paul, Peter, Moses, John, Stephen, Joseph, Solomon, Elijah, Esther, Mary, and Noah.
Nice.
I like my team a lot.
That was a great team. Go ahead. Jesus, John the Baptist, Job, Abraham, Nicodemus, Samson, Josiah, Priscilla, Aquila, Ruth, Jeremiah, and Matthew.
Nice. All right, we're going to probably post this on Instagram.
Yeah, we're going to post
like that. A graphic of both teams, and then you guys can vote for which one's better.
Yeah, we'll give you sources of where each of these guys are found, so you look up their stories and like, why did Zach pick this dude? Why did Jack pick this girl? So we're going to load that up, and this was awesome.
We might have what? How long has it been?
An hour 20.
We might be able,
so mad.
Be mad. Maybe we'll make it a part one and part two and leave people hanging. I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
Abby will figure it out. Woo! All right.
Awesome.
Well, guys, thank you for listening. I guess we'll end it. Honorable mentions are in there. We don't actually have honorable mentions.
Another episode.
We'll leave them for the next time we draft.
They're not
draft.
Honorable mentions. They don't deserve to be in that.
Oh, my. Seriously? All right. Anyways, thanks, guys, for listening.
Thank you.
If you're still here, you are a true listener.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you should DM us, and we should send you $5. We should send you $5. Or maybe $5. A Bible. Or maybe a Bible would be more appropriate since we are a scripture page. A sticker. Maybe we'll send you a sticker. All right. Thank you guys for listening. Catch you next week. Zach and Jack out. Peace.
Peace.